When we're exhausted, so tired that we can't go on, what we need to do is to stop and revive in order to survive. We need revival deep in our hearts. And as things turn out, well, that's God's plan too, to revive an aching heart and a failing spirit. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond and welcome to the program. Now today we're going to take another look at your heart from a different perspective. One of the things that happens just about everywhere on the planet, I suspect, is on those special holidays, those long weekends, school holidays, whatever, many people hop in their cars and head off for a break. Sometimes they drive long distances. I mean, here in Australia, it's a big country, and it's nothing for people to drive 11 or 12 or 13 hours straight to arrive at a holiday destination. And of course, the longer you drive, the more you become tired and the more your mind wanders and you lose concentration. And so tiredness, combined with the fact that there are many more people on the roads, leads to a spike in road accidents and fatalities. In the state where I live, a few years ago, the police or the road authority or whoever it was came up with a catchy slogan that goes like this: stop, revive, survive. It's not bad, and it's true. Sometimes we have to stop and revive in order to survive. And you know, it's like that in life sometimes too. Have you ever been exhausted to the core? You know, so dog tired that you feel as though you can't possibly go on. There are a lot of reasons that can happen, but happen it does. And when it does, we need something or someone to revive us. Fortunately, God has a plan. We've been talking this week on the program about our hearts. You know, that place deep down inside where we live, that place where we experience joy and pain, peace and turmoil, deep down in our hearts. And in this world, time and time again, you see people who are so exhausted, so wrung out. Interesting, I was listening to a social commentator being interviewed on the radio just the other day, and he was making the point that we're in a phase in Western society, at least, where it's all about perfection, the perfect latte, the perfect holiday, the perfect meal, the perfect education for our children. This striving for perfection all the time is making people tired. It's exhausting, because when you go to the coffee shop and the coffee isn't quite perfect and the service isn't quite perfect, people are starting to get all stressed as though somehow their lives was meant to be perfect, and they were never meant to be perfect. That started me thinking, and I thought about it for a while, and I came to the conclusion that actually sin is exhausting. You know, selfishness and pride and anger, whatever it is in our lives, all those things take so much energy. I mean, rebelling against God is just plain hard work, because when we do that, we're living in a manner that we weren't designed to live in. We're pulling in the opposite direction to God. And we know that it just doesn't work. It's exhausting. You start feeling like you're carrying around these incredible loads and burdens. As I look back on my life, I used to be so concerned about my image, what people thought about me. I was always trying to impress people, like you're living life for show, always in the limelight. I was addicted to that stuff. It was just plain exhausting. It's like living in a display home all the time. You know, when you're selling your house, you always keep it perfectly neat and tidy just in case the agent brings some prospective buyer around at a moment's notice. You never relax. You never enjoy. You're always on edge. Listen to me. Millions of people are living their lives like that. And it's not the way it's meant to be. Some people out there, well, you need to stop and revive in order to survive. Have a listen to this. It comes from God. It comes from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Have a listen. It's great stuff. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 15 to 21. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with those who are contrite and humble in spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not continuously accuse, nor will I always be angry, for then the spirits would grow faint before me, even the souls that I have made. Because of their wicked covetousness I was angry. I struck them, I hid, I was angry. But they kept turning back to their own ways. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will lead them and repay them with comfort, creating for their mourners the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to the far and near, says the Lord. I will heal them. But the wicked, they are like the tossing sea. They cannot keep still. Its waters toss up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. See the story playing itself out here. God wants to revive our spirit. He wants to revive our hearts. Now, I'm sure you know this, but this was written originally in the Hebrew language. So this word revive, well, I went back to see what it originally meant before it was translated into the English. Here's what the dictionary definition for the original word is. To live, have life, remain alive, sustain life, live prosperously, live forever, be quickened, be alive, be restored to life or health. Ha ha ha, give me some of that, says the one who's exhausted. But we have to read the rest of what God's saying here through the prophet Isaiah. See, it talks about God's anger towards the wicked, and then it talks about his mercy and grace. Let's have a look at it again. Isaiah 57, verses 18 and 19. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will lead them and repay them with comfort, creating for their mourners the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to the far and the near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. See, this promised revival of the heart and the spirit is not for everyone. God says, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with those who are, listen, contrite and humble in spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. This peace, this revival, this rest is for the humble and the contrite. But those who continue rebelling against God, this is what they should expect. The wicked are like the tossing sea. They cannot keep still. Its waters toss up the mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. God is saying something here. He wants to heal our hearts. He wants to revive the heart, revive the spirit. But he's giving us the choice, and the choice is ours. It's yours and it's mine. If we set our hearts on living the life that God always intended, if we bow our lives down before him, if we humble ourselves, if we come to him with contrition, if we decide to live a life that's close to him and in him, a life that honors him as our God, if we turn from the sin, let me call it exactly what it is, sin, that's like a heavy weight on our shoulders, here's what to expect from God. Revival of the spirit and revival of the heart. But if we don't humble ourselves before God, if we don't turn back to him, then expect this. There is no peace or no rest for the wicked. They are God's words and not mine. Let me come back to it. If you are someone whose heart is to honor God and to serve him, I want to encourage you to take God at his word today. Expect him to revive your heart. Expect him to give you peace and rest on every side, including on the inside, because actually that's exactly what God wants to do for you and for me and anyone else who is humble and contrite, bowing their lives down to God. It's that simple, really. Before I go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you. Because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential, your name won't be displayed, and in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others as well and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in this way. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So please let us pray for you and with you, and let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time on Monday with a different perspective.